This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on what we know of the changing battlefront in Ukraine conflict. Ukraine, however, is only one of several vulnerabilities Kremlin must concern itself with. There is Central Asia. There is certainly the question of Syria, the conflict with NATO since Madrid conference declared Moscow and Beijing adversaries. The conflict with NATO will go on for decades. Ukraine conflict is the immediate challenge. It is not at this point determined which way the war is going, but there has been the expression in Moscow by so-called mill bloggers and other sources of information that are said to echo or support or redouble or underline Russian public opinion. And the one that seemed to be repeated these last days, getting battlefront news, is Putin needs to take the gloves off. That is to say, the rules of engagement, whatever they are, need to be dropped. And Putin needs to decide this is a must win. This is an existential crisis. Professor, I mentioned that because take the gloves off is a metaphor that can mean many things. What immediately comes to mind in my reading most recently is the gradual decision by the United States from November 1944 till August 1945 to use the B-29, the super bomber that it cost more than $3 billion to develop, matching or exceeding what it cost to build the atomic bomb in 1945 dollars, to use the B-29 not as a strategic bomber to take out Tokyo and Japan military industry or concentrations, but instead as a revenge weapon to burn the cities, as the British Air Force, British planes had been burning German cities for some time. That decision was made despite the fact that there was a loud voice in the United States Army Air Force against such a decision. That's what happened in America in 1944-45, and I mentioned that the headlines at the time supported this decision, supported accelerating the bombing campaign over Japan, knowing everybody knew that they were destroying cities along with human beings, but it was applauded and accelerated right up until the atomic bombs were used, which were seen as an extension of the firebombing of the Japanese cities. Now, that's one example of take the gloves off. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying that America went through that transformation because it was frustrated with the Japanese refusing to give up despite the fact that the population was starving to death and they were cut off and their fleet no longer existed. And the kamikaze planes were understood as insanity. So that happened then. Can it happen now, Professor?
Well, Clausewitz long ago identified as one of the three components of war, brute passion, raw anger. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about taking the gloves off. The firebombings to which you're referring made no strategic sense. Strategy means using your brain to figure out how actually to win by defeating the enemy's strategy. We had, of course, the bombing of Dresden, which was quite horrendous. And then we had the firebombing of numerous Japanese cities. The term firestorm was coined in connection with the firebombing of Hamburg. And we have color film of that bombing. Here's the point. In wartime, the populations of the cities, they're not full of military age young men. We know in great detail, particularly from Japan, that Japanese cities are built out of paper and very simple wood. Who were living in those houses? Women, wives, old people, and babies. All the men were in the forces. We burned them up and we created, you can see films of them, red tornado clouds of fire. incredibly high temperatures, a complete sucking in of all the oxygen, and such heat that when people rushed out, and in those days there were lots of canals in Tokyo and other, it was like Venice, it's all been paved over now, but people would rush out and they would jump into the water to try to escape the heat, only to discover that the water was boiling. As an American who is, I'm patriotic American, I feel that this was a shame, and I cannot see how it contributed to our victory. But I think that you are quite right that there is that one thing that Putin could attempt to whip up would be a kind of Russian national fury. On the other hand, there is also, I think, in Russia, a current of disgust. It's now night in Russia, but during Sunday, Mr. Putin has been celebrating Moscow Day, dedicating a new Ferris wheel and talking about what a great city Moscow is. He has said nothing about this news of these terrible setbacks in Ukraine, although I'm sure we know that Moscow is buzzing with talk about it. Mr. Shigo, the top lieutenant, Mr. Putin's closest, until recently closest confidant, is saying nothing. General Gerasimov, who is, I believe, chief of the general staff, it's not even known whether he's alive, but we haven't heard from him. Meanwhile, Mr. Kadyrov, who is leader of the Chechens, the Chechens and the Russians have fought and are continually at war, but Mr. Kadyrov has opportunistically aligned himself with Putin, and he's now in Moscow with his own private army. He has said something. He said that this is a disaster, and unless major changes are made, in other words, a rearrangement of the Russian command structure, a reconsideration of the whole strategy, he's going to have to get involved. And he has his own army of several thousand there in Moscow, and it wouldn't be the first time if he and others, truly professional Russian military officers, a lot of the people who are in Mr. Putin's inner circle, if you look at their lives, they did not come up from being grunts through the ranks to being generals. They came in laterally. So I think it's also possible that patriotic Russians will say, Mr. Putin has driven this bus. He's about to drive it off the cliff. Our whole country is threatened. And it's time to stop listening to Putin, Shigo, Gerasimov. If I were Russian, I'd be afraid of Kadyrov. What I hope is that these are yesterday's men. And if you understand Russian history, you'll realize that military defeat is sometimes accompanied, or seeming military defeat, is sometimes accompanied by a great resurgence, such as that which drove Napoleon's army out and which culminated in the great Battle of the Nations in October of 1813 in Leipzig, which Napoleon commanded personally and lost, and which was the biggest battle ever fought until World War I. It could mean that. But remember also that in the Russo-Japanese War, the Russian defeat of General Kuropatkin at Mukden or Shenyang in China's northeast was turned not saying, all right, we'll send even more men and we'll keep reinforcing this strategy which has gotten us in a mess, but they're saying, look, we need new leaders. So I would hope that in Russia we're going to see some kind of government of national salvation. But I'm not sure that the West is, that the United States is ready for that. We have staked so much on Putin that the idea that he's now as important as, say, Mr. Kerensky was in 1930 is not appealing to us. But I think it is the case that scenarios involving Putin are most likely to go into the trash. If we are wise, we will reinforce this Ukrainian success and thus avoid a wider war. That said, there are many repercussions that are going to flow from this this astonishing success by the Ukrainians.
Professor H.A. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on what we know about the changing battlefront in Ukraine.